Hello and welcome to my Power of Musical Voice podcast. I've talked to many industry professionals and non-professionals on the power of music and voice for good mental health and general well-being, and about what it means to them and how it is used. My passion is to raise the awareness of their power. With voice, it could be hypnotherapy, therapy, or just talking about issues or singing. With music, it could be writing songs or performing or giving music therapy. That's another very effective way to help. They can both bring harmony, peace, joy, and so much more to our lives and to the lives of others when their power is embraced. Join me on this wonderful journey through music and voice. Just to let you know, this interview was done in April. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. I have with me today Graydon Radford from the Shrewsbury Morris Dancers. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Morris Dancers, they dance. Dance is fitness. Fitness produces endorphins and people smile and feel good. So that's how he's here with me for the Power of Music and Voice podcast. So hello, Graydon, and welcome.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming along and chatting to me. So I'd like to know just about, you know, when did Shrewsbury Morris Dancers get together? How long have you been together? Well, obviously, if you tell me when, I will know how long, of course. But and why? Why was the big why behind getting together?
Well, we were originally started in 1976. I didn't join them till 2010. But Shrewsbury Morris themselves were born in 1976. And it was our leaders, Ray and Bev Langton, who are huge figures in the folk world generally, who set the whole thing in motion, as I say, in 1976. So we're 45 this year, 45 years old. And for them, it's been a real journey and labour of love. They both, as I say, come from folk backgrounds. Ray used to dance with another Morris side down in the south. And then they moved up here and started us. And they've sort of got local members as time's gone on. And, you know, people come and people go. But I actually joined them in 2010 because I was looking for something else to do. I'd seen it in Somerset some years ago. I was never a folkie. I didn't grow up with any folk music at all. I'm glam rock and punk brought up. You know, I sort of fell into it, as I say, when I found it in Somerset when I was about 17. A load of guys came into a car park, got out of a minibus, danced in the sunshine, had a few beers, got back into the minibus, and we all thought, that's great music. Where are they going? Followed them, and of course they went to the next pub. And I thought, this is a really good way to spend a Saturday afternoon. And then nursing and the army got in the way. And then in 2010, that's when I had the sort of thing, I thought, I wonder if there's a Morris side around here. So I just Googled them, and that was it. And just said to my wife, would you mind being the wife of a Morris dancer? And she said, no, I suppose not. I phoned them. Ray said, yeah, come to practice. I went and I thought, I'll just sit around and watch them. And as soon as I walked through the door, I got a stick shoved in my hand. And he said, go and stand in that lot over there. And by the end of the night, I'd learnt two dances and it was great.
And of course, it's always nice, isn't it, when you go from pub to pub?
Indeed.
I mean, the drinking is very much in with the Morris dancing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Ray will say to you, if you ask Ray that question, he'd say, well, we're not a boozy side. And we're not really. We just like to do the dancing.
But so it's social, you know, isn't it? At the end.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. 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 But we like our socialising as well. We're not averse to the odd pint or two here and there.
No, it's important, I think, and it's all part of the whole picture.
Sure, of course.
It's like bands, isn't it? You know, you do a gig and then you all want to sit down and have a pint at the end of the evening or something.
I don't
ever drink before I do a gig, so I always look forward to my pint at the end.
Well, that's the same with us. We don't drink before we dance. It's
dangerous.
One of the sort of, especially with 2 meter sticks.
Yeah, very dangerous. I know.
But they themselves, as I say, they started, I think, because they just love folk. They loved Morris dancing and they wanted to set something up in Shrewsbury, which would give local people a chance to enjoy something that they've been enjoying for some time.
Well, that sounds great. And I notice you've got the Bull and Pump Morris Men. That's under the Shrewsbury Morris, yeah?
Yep.
And the Shrewsbury Lasses.
Yes. So
can you tell me a bit? Well, first of all, let's go on to the Shrewsbury Lashes, because I like, not lashes, lasses even. And I like your cheekiness. You do seem to have an air of cheekiness about you. In fact, in the write-up about the Shrewsbury Lasses, I'm glad I haven't had a drink when I say that. I love the way you sort of, you know, and a little bit of flash of garter, and they've got
Ah.
their very colourful pinafore dresses. Was it the ladies of the Shrewsbury Morris dancers that decided on the colour of the pinafore dresses and their garters?
Yes, I believe it was. We actually have three teams within our side. Morris teams are sort of called sides in the Morris world. And so we have, as you say, the Shrewsbury Bull and Pump Morris men. They were named after the pub they used to dance in, the Bull and Pump. They used to
Excellent.
practice in the Shrewsbury Lasses. I think that was Bev came up with that particular word. And we have Shrewsbury Clog, who are a separate team, who obviously dance clog. Everyone, you know, we all the men, the women, and the clog, we all dance together. So it's not three completely separate teams. Everybody intermingles, and the clog team have really grown in size because clogging is very interesting and very technical to do. So we have a team now of about, I think, eight or nine cloggers who all come from within the Morris team themselves, but so they do extra things, the clog team. So it's nice to give a bit of variety when we go out, especially if we're dancing with other Morris sides when we're out. The lasses' dresses, I think, were came up with from some of the women within the team. I'm not completely sure about how it all happened, but we had a really, really lovely guy called Ron, who had been with the team and played an instrument with the team. He didn't dance, but Ron was with the team for years and years and years and came up with many of the lasses' dances. And I think, if I remember rightly, Bev tells a very funny story of Ron was very quiet, but whenever he said something, and he didn't say very much, but whenever he said it was very meaningful. And they were talking, I think, in a pub one night about what color tights they were going to wear or stockings they were going to wear. And all of a sudden, this voice from over at the fireplace said, "Black." And that's why they decided to wear black. And then I think he might have come up with the garter idea as well. I may be wrong with that, but yeah, the garter thing, they make a thing of that, and they have several dances where they flash them as they go around. I think that comes down to that they're all a bit sort of outgoing, perhaps outgoing and fun loving, and we're all a bit like that. So, you know, we like to smack our sticks a bit harder when we go out and yell a bit and whoop a bit and all that sort of thing. So it goes back to what you were saying at the start. It's fun. It's a great thing to do. It releases loads of endorphins when you do it, and it's exciting and happy. That's how the team started. It was Ray and Beau who started it. They came up with the colour of the kit. The men's kit, incidentally, is brown and green and is to reflect the colours that spring brings, the green hedges, the brown, the earth being tilled, ready for, you know, planting and all that sort of thing. So there are lots of meanings to the outfits, and the ladies all try and have a different colour. So I do believe they're all different colours when they're out.
Oh, that's fascinating. I love watching Morris teams. I probably have seen you if you travel all over the country, and you know, I've been to Towersley Festival and things like that. I'm sure you've been there and played there.
Well, Ray and Bev actually for years and years helped at Towersley Festival because they teach dancing, they teach folk music, and they used to help there a lot. And several of the Morris teams used to go, and the Morris team members would go and help them there. So they do other lots of other things. They're so involved with folk in many aspects. They're just brilliant. They've kept Shrewsbury Morris going since 1976, and they're just as enthusiastic about it now as they were when they started.
Well, I personally like watching Morris teams. I like watching the clog dancing. And yes, it is very technical. It fascinates me. And from a viewer's point of view, it does make me smile. And even, you know, even if I've got my pint in my hand, you know, I might be spilling it, I'll still be dancing around. You just get into the spirit of it. And the fact it's traditional, which is lovely. You know,
You
it's folk,
do.
it's traditional. It's you just whoop away and you want to dance because you're dancing.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. And you know, people take the mickey out of Morris dancing, and we all know that. And we try and do it, you know, first ourselves before everybody else does it. I certainly do on Twitter. But very rarely, when you're dancing, do you see people not tapping their feet or moving around. And the lovely thing about it is I have got lots and lots of photos of kids who are watching us who are jumping around and, you know, with their parents, and they're dancing, and they sometimes join us on in the dances. When we do a finish dance, we get people from the audience, young and old, and they'll join us in the dance, and they'll be having fun. So yeah, it gets the rise taken out of it, but it's you know, it's a fun thing to do. There is nothing bad about Morris dancing.
No, it's lovely and it's full of fantastic characters. I love it. So you have been really, really good at keeping people interested and going, and you've been helping. I'm sure because of the online presence you've had during the pandemic, you have helped so many people with their mental health, you know, just because you've kept connected and you've done Zoom sessions, haven't you, and things like that. Can you tell me a bit more about what you've done through the pandemic to help others and keep others connected and even dance?
Well, as a team, we've had a Zoom session practically every week, every Thursday, which is normally our practice night. We've had a Zoom session every Thursday since we started, which has kept the team together. There are some people who don't like Zoom and don't want to do it, but we think they'll still come back when we go back to practice from Saturday onwards, this Saturday coming, which is very exciting. But yeah, the Zoom sessions have kept people together, I think. That was Ray and Bev's main point, was to make sure the team stayed connected. We also have a newsletter that's gone out every week, which they've done. So they've moved mountains to keep the team going and connected, which is great for our own particular mental health and to keep things together as a side. So, you know, we're all in our own separate kitchens and studies, which is where I am now. But on a Thursday night, I'm dancing around here for half an hour, and it's great. So we can still do what we were doing before, but obviously in a slightly different way. As far as other people are concerned, I don't know if we've kept people, you know, going and perhaps some morale raised while we've been on Twitter. I try and post every day. We have a big Twitter account. We reach a lot of people. And just because we've been in the pandemic, there's no reason to not keep talking about what we do as a team. So I've tried to keep that going. And I have had other very kindly, very lovely people have said to me, "You've kept us going through the pandemic with your cheery tweets and all that sort of thing." And that's what we try and do. I try and keep things light on social media, and if it's helped people, then that's wonderful. I know it's helped me by doing it, but if we've helped other people, then that's great. And I think my first post when the pandemic started a year or so ago was, "If anybody wants to talk, our private messages are always open." And several people did. They messaged us, and I'm a nurse by background. I was a nurse for 34
Absolutely.
years in the NHS and the army, and I did a bit of mental health stuff as well during that time. If people want to chat, I'm really up for it if it helps. If not, you know, I'm just a sort of a neutral voice in the void, if you like, that can just listen to people.
Well, you've certainly helped me. I like your tweets. You, as you say, you keep them light-hearted, very cheeky sense of humour, but also I love the videos you share of the Morris teams. You know, you've got YouTube videos. They're fun. They put a smile on your face. I'm often in the kitchen when I think, oh, I'm going to have a check this video out or something. I'll dance around the kitchen while I'm doing meals.
That's
So
great.
it is good fun, and you have put a smile on my face personally.
Oh, well, that's
It's
nice
lovely
to
to
know.
see your tweets. So
Thank you.
moving on, whereas the pandemic is easing, that you know, I should say the restrictions are easing. What have you got planned this year?
Well, the main thing is to get back to practice. We've all missed that. Even though we've been doing Zoom, it's not the same. You like to sort of interact with people, and like everyone, you know, we're looking forward to getting back to talking to people properly. And although we'll still remain socially distanced, depending on what the rules are at the time, we go back to practice on Saturday, but we have to be outdoors. So that's the reason we've been allowed back, because we normally practice in a school and we're indoors, and we have a perfect practice room because we have two separate rooms, one for the ladies and one for the men, which means we can all get on with, you know, doing all our dances between us. And then we get together at the end of that practice for about half an hour, do some dances together, and have our sort of information and notices, and then we all go home. Well, obviously we haven't been able to do that while we've been in the pandemic. So our main thing at the moment is to get back to practice. Our calendar has rapidly diminished, as I think many people have found as time's gone on. So we haven't got that much to do this year. We've got a few dates which people are still looking at, but of course we have to rely on them to be able to have their particular event. So we've got a fete that's coming up, which we normally dance in every year. They don't know whether they're going to be able to go ahead yet, so we're waiting for people to say yes or no. But I think in reality we just want to get back to practice, and if that takes another sort of, you know, 5 or 6 months to do, and then we all go out next year and dance, that's absolutely fine, because we need the practice. So, you know, before we go out, obviously we want to give a good performance. The main thing is we want to make it fun. I think we had a We have several deputies in the team, so I'm one of the deputies for the men's team. So we make decisions about what we dance when we go out and that sort of thing. And at a recent deputies meeting, I said, I think the most important thing about our first dance out, where we go out publicly, is it has to be fun.
Yes.
We don't want to be, right, quick, everybody on, do this, quick, this dance, that dance, because it can get a bit manic when we're out, because we like to be professional if we can, and give a good account of ourselves. But we want it to be fun for people watching and for us to do. And that's the most important thing. So the most important thing this year is to have some fun, get some practice in, and then if we don't dance out properly till 2022, then so be it. And we're just waiting for people to tell us if they can have us at their event. But I don't think we're too bothered really about masses of events this year. We just want to get back together. We also have six new socially distanced dances, which Ray and Bev have come up with. So we've been practicing them.
Excellent.
We've got one dance with 2 meter sticks,
Oh, crikey.
which is great. If things are still really tight in terms of social distancing, and for instance, masks and things like that, because at the moment we're not allowed to call our dances.
No.
You know what I mean when I say that. So
I
people are
do, yeah.
waiting to hear what's coming next, what move is coming next. And if we're not allowed to do that, then we have to learn the dances by heart, dance them in silence, if you like. So there's a lot still to do. We'll find out more when we go back on Saturday, and then we'll see how practice goes on during the year. But no huge dates really, no masses of things planned at the moment.
I think that's the same for everybody, isn't it? I mean, it's like my ukulele group. I'm able to teach them, carry on teaching my students, but we're not going to go back and physically meet again until May, towards the end of May. But we won't be able to sing. It'll be the same thing, you know. They can play, and we'll probably be outside, but we will be legally allowed because it's a teach, you know, I'm teaching, but we won't be able to sing. They'll just have to. To be honest, they're so wrapped up in trying to do the actual play the
The
actual
chords,
tune
yeah.
and the chords, and it doesn't really matter. But and of course, we had a lot of dates for the last year or so, and they had to be cancelled. And we're not really bothered either because we just want to be safe and we want everybody to be comfortable. And we're not
Yeah,
really
sure.
fussed about, you know. So I think everybody's in the same boat, but everybody. Looking forward to 2022. I think that's going to be such a fabulous year of music festivals
Yeah,
and
let's hope.
celebrations. I hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
So, well, it's very exciting. Gosh, can you video your practices?
Well, actually, on our website, we have Ray and Bev have done fantastic work putting everything on the website in terms of links to videos. So they've got all the new socially distanced dances on the website, and we also have three just before Christmas. We always have a Christmas ceilidh, but of course this year, of course, yeah, we couldn't have one, so we had a virtual Christmas ceilidh. So we all went on Zoom. We invited people from outside. We had a great time, bring a little bit of something to eat, bring some drinks, that sort of thing. But before we did that, six of us went out and did three of the new socially distanced dances in kit on an abandoned car park at the edge of Shrewsbury. So there was nobody else around.
Oh,
We were socially
fantastic.
distanced, so we could do the dances because we were socially di they're socially distanced dances. And so we did them. So six of us did the three of the six new dances, which was brilliant. It was actually great fun. It was very cold. It was December. We had this email from Ray and Bev one Saturday night saying, "Can anybody get to this car park on Sunday morning? We know it's short notice." And six of us said, "Yeah, we'll do it." And after about sort of 20 odd takes of trying to get it right, we did it. And so those, because we would normally do a set during the Christmas ceilidh live,
Yes.
of course we couldn't do that because we didn't have a Christmas ceilidh live. So we did three of them, and they were sort of virtual sets for during the ceilidh. So every now and then they just played a video of us doing one of these dances. Then we all went back to the ceilidh. Then there was another video of us doing the dances. So we were able to provide a glimpse of what we were going to do in the sort of new future, if you like. So that was great. So they're on our website as well. Yeah, that was a good thing to do.
What fun. Super, super fun. Can you tell us your website, Graydon, please, for my listeners?
Yes, it's shrewsburymorris.co.uk.
And your Twitter handle?
At Shrews Morris.
Excellent. And of course, if you get the newsletter, listeners, you'll be able to find out all the information of their websites and their YouTube channels and everything through that. So, you know, if you haven't subscribed yet, do subscribe. Stop by lynnnash.co.uk and subscribe, and you'll get all the information. Well, Graydon, it's been absolutely a pleasure to talk to you today and to get the insight into Shrewsbury Morris dance. It's such fun, and I can't wait to see you dancing in 2022.
Thank you.
Me dancing there, spilling my beer all over the place.
Oh, that would be great.
Not quite sure my husband will do the dancing, but I certainly will be, and my son too. So, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, and it's been lovely to hear all about Shrewsbury Morris dancers and get a bit more insight into the dances and the clogging and everything. So thank you very much.
No, thank you very much.
You have been listening to a Lynn Nash Music and Voice production for the power of music and voice for mental health and well-being. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you do come back for more episodes. Thank you very much for listening.